Hi, Rebels. This Financial Literacy Month, Rebel Girls teamed up with Greenlight, the debit card and money app for families, to bring you everything you need to be smart with your money and build healthy habits that last a lifetime. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids learn to make smart choices with every penny, whether you're saving for something special or learning to invest. Greenlight gives kids the power to be independent, and grown-ups can trust that their kids have money wherever they are. Sign up at greenlight.com/rebelgirls to get your first month at no cost and start building money confidence for life.
Once there was a girl who drew the story of herself and her family across the pages of the world. Her name is Marjan. Ever since she was very young, Marjan, or Margie for short, was a spitfire. She ran around her home in the Iranian capital of Tehran in sneakers with her short, dark hair bouncing around her grinning cheeks. Her eyes sparkled with mischief. Margie's parents wanted everything for their daughter. But in Iran, where she grew up, people believed men and women were not equal. Girls were told to be pretty, to get married, and to have children. But Margie's mother never treated her differently from the boys. She told her daughter, who was so full of life and energy, that there were no limits to what she was capable of. She told her that anything a human being could do, Margie can do. These would become words to live by as Margie grew up and, eventually, told her story to the world. Simply in black and white. I am Liz Montague, and this is Goodnight Stories for Rebel Girls, a fairy tale podcast about the rebel women who inspire us. This week, Marjan Satrapi. As she grew up, Marjan read books about philosophies and governments from all over the world and wondered why her own government treated its people so badly. From her family's apartment, she would watch as protesters marched the streets, calling for an end to the oppressive regime. Then, in 1979, when Margie was 10 years old, the Iranian Revolution happened. Iran's king, who was known as the Shah, was forced to leave the country. Margie and her classmates ripped out pictures of him from their textbooks. Most exciting of all, 3,000 political prisoners were released. One of these was Margie's uncle Anoush, who had been in prison almost as long as she had been alive. One evening, after Uncle Anoush was released, she asked him to explain what happened to him as a bedtime story. And he did. When he was done, he said, "I tell you all this because it is important that you know. Our family memory must not be lost, even if it's not easy for you, even if you don't understand it." "Don't worry," Margie replied, snuggling down into her blankets. "I'll never forget." And she didn't. She held all the stories inside of her and saved them for later, when she would one day draw them for everyone to see. When the Shah of Iran was ousted by his people, Iranians were hopeful that the new regime would be better than the old one. Unfortunately, they were wrong. The new government was very strict. So many things were forbidden. Certain music and clothing. Girls and boys weren't allowed to study together anymore. Women and girls were required by law to cover their hair with headscarves and hooded veils before leaving their houses. This was a huge change to what Margie was used to. Her parents were afraid that the government would soon ban travel to European countries. So the family took a trip to Italy and Spain in 1980. And when they got back, their country was at war. Tehran, the capital city of Iran where Margie lived, was under constant attack from Iraq, the country next door. Air raid sirens wailed. The distant sound of military planes and muffled booms seemed constant. It was a very scary time. Despite all the violence around her, Margie's parents still encouraged her to think for herself and be independent. As she grew into a teenager, she resisted the oppressive laws through little acts of rebellion. She went out wearing jeans and punk rock t-shirts under her veil. She wore black market nail polish and listened to band music alone in her room, head banging and strumming a tennis racket air guitar. She got in tons of trouble, but somehow always managed to squeak out of it. Even so, Margie's parents were getting worried for her. They made a tough decision to send her away from Iran and away from her family. The plan was she would go to Austria. Margie was shocked that they trusted her enough to let her go alone. And she was sad. As she wrote later, nothing's worse than saying goodbye.
Listen, we've all had our embarrassing BO moments, am I right? I once made my friend's Pearl Jam t-shirt stink so badly that she blamed me for the band breaking up. But fear not. Lumi Whole Body Deodorant is making sure that none of us have to worry about BO ever again. Unlike many other deodorants, Lumi is powered by mandelic acid to control odor in a whole new way. Lumi delivers 72-hour odor control everywhere from your pits to your feet, and yeah, that includes your privates. In fact, it was patients' concerns about private part odor that originally inspired the OBGYN who invented Lumi. As a special offer, new customers get $5 off Lumi's starter pack with code REBELGIRLS at LumiDeodorant.com. I kid you not, the lavender sage cream tube is definitely on my list of things I must have if I'm stranded on a deserted island. Smell for yourself. Lumi Starter Pack is perfect for new customers. It comes with a solid stick deodorant, cream tube deodorant, two free products of your choice, and free shipping. As a special offer for listeners, new customers get $5 off a Lumi Starter Pack with code REBELGIRLS at LumiDeodorant.com. That equates to over 40% off your starter pack when you visit LumiDeodorant.com and use code REBELGIRLS. So lift those pits and stay rebel.
Austria was a culture shock, in a good way. Margie wouldn't write or draw about it until much, much later. But her experiences in Europe always stuck with her. She didn't speak a word of German, but she made it work. She was amazed at the supermarkets, at the shelves and aisles filled with food. She excelled in her classes. She found punk friends who were fascinated by her experiences in Iran. She ate spaghetti right out of the pot. For the most part, she could wear what she wanted, eat what she wanted, do what she wanted, and be whoever she wanted. Life in Austria turned out to be better than she expected. But this left Margie feeling guilty that her friends and family back home were in danger every day. A few phone calls every now and then and a visit from her mother helped a little, but Margie was homesick. She felt like nobody understood her in Europe. Lots of people assumed all Iranians were terrorists, and they weren't shy about saying terrible things to her because of where she was from. She began to feel lost. And eventually, she realized something important. It was time to go home. Marjan flew home in the winter of 1989 when she was 18. Driving through the streets of Tehran was both the same and very, very different. It was eerily quiet, like a cemetery. And the buildings were covered with 50-foot-high murals of serious, stern-looking men. Margie refused to speak about her time in Austria. One of her childhood friends had lost an arm and a leg on the front lines. Parts of her city had been reduced to rubble. Families had been destroyed by the violence. It felt like whining to complain. So, she kept her own story all bottled up inside. It wouldn't be till years later, when she finally put pen to paper, that she would describe her great European adventure to her family, friends, and the rest of the world. At this time, a great sadness began building within her. A sadness called depression. She didn't want to get out of bed and she couldn't stop crying. It took time, but Margie eventually realized something. Something important. It's okay to be sad. It's okay to cry. It's okay to be depressed. After that, Margie was determined to take care of herself. Depression would stay with her for many years, but it didn't stop Margie from continuing to rebel. She got a job, took university entrance exams, and realized something else important. She realized a love of art, so she decided to study it in school. In college, Margie found her classes too serious, so she started doodling funny cartoons in her notes. She added speech bubbles of her professors shouting and showed them to her friends to make them laugh. Luckily, she didn't get caught or she would have been in big trouble. But art wasn't easy in Iran. So many things were still illegal. Margie couldn't ask her male friends to pose for her drawings, and it was impossible for her to get a good sketch from the female models at school because they wore long robes and had their faces covered. As usual, though, Margie found a way. She and her friends took turns striking poses at home in dress-up clothes. They always got better grades on their homemade sketches, and their professors pretended not to notice. Margie and her friends defied the law in other subtle ways. By wearing makeup, showing their wrists in public, listening to music on headphones, and occasionally switching out their black socks for red ones. Once, Margie's friend dared her to take off her veil in the car. She shouted with joy out the window as they drove through the streets of Tehran. After a few years, though, Margie couldn't stand the strict laws anymore. "I want to leave this country," she shouted. In the summer of 1994, at age 25, Margie memorized every precious detail of the country she loved. The mountains, the salty air, the sight of the Caspian Sea, the smell of jasmine wafting off her grandmother's clothes. She said goodbye to her grandfather and Uncle Anoush where they were buried. Then she packed her things and moved to France. After leaving Iran, Marjan ended up settling in France and tried to make it as an artist. But it didn't go well at first. She wrote and illustrated a few children's books, but they didn't get published. Then, a friend gave her a book that changed everything. Mouse, a graphic novel that covered some really heavy topics. Reading it made her think about her old doodles in school. What if she tried writing a story like this? She wondered. What stories would she tell? And then she figured it out. Every time she made a new friend, she always tried to stay away from talking about her home country. But somehow she ended up explaining her childhood in Iran over and over again. So she decided to write it all down. The story of her life and her family and Iran. She started writing and drawing the book that would introduce her to the world. Persepolis. This time, publishers took notice. They saw and appreciated Marjan's dark humor, her honesty, and her simple art style impressed everyone. In Persepolis, she told the truth about her childhood in Iran. Every scary, controversial detail. She didn't paint herself as a hero or villain. She was just Margie, good and bad. She ended up publishing 4 volumes, and the book was made into a movie in 2007. So far, Persepolis has been translated into 24 languages and sold over 2 million copies. But for all that, Marjan Satrapi's work is banned in the country she loves. The country she was born in, Iran. She can't even return home because the government might throw her in jail. But she continues to write and draw her family's history, no matter what other people think. And to this day, her work inspires female graphic novelists to tell their own stories through pictures, one panel at a time.
Today's episode was hosted by Liz Montague. Liz is a cartoonist and illustrator and creator of the popular Liz at Large cartoon series. Her awesome work has been featured in The New Yorker. This podcast is a production of Rebel Girls and Boom Integrated, a division of John Marshall Media. It's based on the book series, Goodnight Stories for Rebel Girls. Our executive producers are Jess Wolf and Katie Springer. This season was produced by John Marshall Cherry, Sarah Storm, and Robin Lai. Corinne Peterson is our production manager. This episode was written by Alexa Stratton and edited by Katie Springer. Proofread by Ariana Rosas. Original theme music was composed and performed by Alecha Barjocki, who has also sound designed this episode. Mattia Marcelli was the sound mixer. Until next time, stay tuned and stay rebel!
Can't get enough of Rebel Girls? Well, luckily, the Rebel Girls app is now completely free. That's right. You can listen to the entire library of Goodnight Stories for Rebel Girls ad-free. Plus, check out the app's cool features, like activities, trivia, custom playlists, and more. All parent-trusted and kids-safe. Find out more at rebelgirls.com/audio and download the Rebel Girls app today. Thanks for listening.